everyone. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. As we're turning there, the message title is The Plight of Pilate. The Plight of Pilate. We'll read from verse 28 down to 38. John chapter 18 from verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault, and find in him no fault at all. Let's just pray and commit this time unto the Lord. Father, we thank you that we have your word in our language, and we thank you that we can read of our Lord and of our Saviour. 2,000 years ago, we read of your very merciful and gracious accounts and your dealings with mankind throughout history. And we thank you that your word is settled forever in heaven, and we pray that as we look into it now, that you would instruct us and teach us. We all have unique needs. We all have our challenges, our struggles, and I pray that you would minister unto us, that the Spirit would guide us into truth and help us. We pray that you'd be glorified in our midst this evening, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this day and age is it's full of internet and social media and mobile phones, big data, list goes on. And we're drowning in information, whether it's information from the news, fact sheets, blogs, vlogs, tweets, or even the newspaper, if we're still looking at it. There is a myriad of platforms that exist today that provide a channel for everyone to voice their opinion, telling us how they think things ought to be and why. And the world today is vying for our attention more than ever. And we're constantly bombarded with what is right and what is wrong, what is good and bad, what's the truth and what are lies. We're told what we should think, do, and feel, told what we should and shouldn't believe, and how to interpret what's happening around us. And it seems like everyone is an expert, and everyone has a reason why we should be listening to them. And for me personally, sometimes it's all just a bit overwhelming. It's very confusing, and it's uncertain at times what I should be listening to and what I should be ignoring. Who's right and who's wrong? And I'm guilty of this. Sometimes it's far easier just to ignore it all and just shut yourself off from it. Too hard to deal with, too hard to face it. I'll think about it another time. And tonight we're going to be looking at this account of Pilate, not just what we read, but throughout. A man who faced similar overwhelming circumstances. Everyone's opinions, everyone's reasons. And how he responded to this and what were the consequences of this. And we're going to be looking at this under four headings, if you're taking notes. The first one, the first heading is Pilate's plight. The second, Satan's lies. Thirdly, God's truth. And lastly, man's choice. Pilate's plight. So this man, Pilate, his full name, Pontius Pilate. I don't think he had a middle name. He was the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria at the time of Jesus Christ's ministry. And as governor of the land, he was entrusted and responsible for ruling the land on behalf of the emperor, upholding the law and order. And he was the judge, had the final say between right and wrong, guilty and not guilty, yes and no. And our main text that we just looked at tonight is one of the few discourses that Pilate has with Christ Jesus, where he asks the famous question, what is truth? And he's asking it to Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, as he stood before him unlawfully condemned, arrested by the Sanhedrin and brought to him after questioning. Now this question that Pilate asks, it's a very good and noble question, and it's something that we should all be asking. But as we read in afterwards in verse 38, Pilate just walks away straight after asking it. He's not even allowing a moment for Christ to respond. And we see this in said verse 38. What is truth? Pilate asks. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. Doesn't even seem like he hangs around to find out. Pilate, as the governor, he was woken very early in the morning, and he was presiding over this unlawful trial. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, brought Christ unto him, seeking, as we read later on, his death. And Pilate was bombarded throughout this trial with all range of conflicting facts and opinions from every single source. First of all, he was subject to the vehement accusations of the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priests. I'll read a few out just so we get a flavor of what he was hearing. Mark 15:3, and the chief priests accused him of many things. And we read earlier in verse 30 of John 18 that they concluded he was a malefactor. In Luke 23:2, they say, when they began to accuse him, this is the Jewish leaders, saying, we found this fellow, he was perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Then again, Pilate hears, and they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching them, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And then in the next chapter of John, in verse 12, the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. For whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Jewish leaders were calling out Christ for making himself king. And John 19:15, but when they cried, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest said, we have no king but Caesar. And this is just a small snippet of the constant bombardment of the accusations, the call-outs, from the Jewish leaders that Pilate was hearing the whole time. But this wasn't the only source of information that Pilate was hearing. He received a personal warning from his wife. And we're told about this in Matthew 27:19 during this proceeding, where Pilate's wife says unto him, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate's hearing from his wife, this is a just man. Have nothing to do with him. And then Christ himself makes some very pointed statements to Pilate himself. We read in John 19 and again in Luke 23, Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered unto him, "Thou sayest," or "as thou sayest, it is." And later on in John, where we read this evening, actually, Pilate again said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Christ is saying he's a king. Christ is saying that he bears witness to the truth. And then again in John 19:11, when Pilate says to him, "Don't you know that I'm the governor of the land? I have power to release you." And Christ says unto him, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." He's hearing one thing from the Jewish leaders, another thing from his wife, and then these very pointed statements from Christ. And Pilate had his own conclusion as well. In Luke 23:14, says, "Ye have brought this man unto me," Pilate speaking unto the Jewish leaders, "as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him." And it's not just Pilate that had that conclusion, but Herod likewise. In the following verse, verse 15, "No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." All of these voices, conflicting points of view, seem to be very overwhelming to Pilate. What was he to believe? Who was he to trust? Now, Pilate's question, what is truth, amongst all of this, and his subsequent response, just walking out straight afterwards, seems to represent some form of apathy, cynicism or carelessness towards this whole ideal. Hearing all of these different accounts and opinions, his question and his response reflects a giving up in just hopelessness or carelessness in finding it out, a passing question. Now, this trial ends in Pilate essentially giving over to the Jewish leaders' demands. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Unable to sway or quell their demands for Christ's death. And Pilate's plight, or his dilemma, was that he had to choose between upholding the truth as governor at the risk of an uprising, or surrendering to these false accusations in an attempt to preserve his own peace and his own prosperity as governor. And it's in this that he failed. Rather than facing these questions, these accusations, and standing up to them, as he ought to have, as the governor of the land, he gave in to peer pressure, and he allowed the innocent to be condemned. And Pilate knew that Christ was innocent. He says in Mark 15, "For he," Pilate, "knew the chief priests had delivered him for envy." He knew what was going on. And yet he failed to call them out. He failed to seek after and uphold the truth as he ought to have. Three separate times does Pilate declare Christ innocent. Yet he actually fails to actually stop the punishment that was requested of him. Pilate did not seek an answer from Christ on his question. Instead, he washed away the responsibility of this whole trial from his hands, and in a sense, he walked away from the truth, the only truth that he was to uphold as the governor, but the greater truth, which is Christ. Pilate conceded to the lies and the agendas of those around him, rather than standing up for what was right, for truth. He failed to seek and uphold truth in the matter, and instead he backed down as he attempted to please the people to preserve his own peace, his own prosperity, his own position as governor. Next, Satan's lies. Satan's lies. How is it that Pilate allowed this great injustice to proceed? What held him back from making a stand and holding his ground against all of this noise around him. Well, Pilate's failure to stand up for the truth and uphold justice was because he himself was caught up in lies. Worn down by these different points of view throughout the day, he just abandoned post and just went insular, protecting himself. He put his interests first, no matter the cost to others. And Christ warns about this in Matthew 16:25, for whosoever will save his life, try to preserve his life, preserve, protect what he has, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Pilate, in seeking to save his life and his position, he ultimately lost it. And in the years that followed, Pilate's life just drifted meaninglessly away. It's never mentioned again in the scriptures, except in reference to this account. And ancient sources tell us that he was actually shamefully disqualified shortly thereafter in his governorship. He returned home to Italy, and he ultimately committed suicide. How could Pilate ask one of these biggest questions in life, what is truth, and just walk away from the answer? How could he, when he's literally standing in front of the truth, Jesus Christ, so badly miss it, forsaking the opportunity to find his life both on earth and for all eternity? Well, there was a greater and a darker power that stood behind this Roman governor who was so deceived and caught up in himself, so self-focused. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. See, Pilate was deceived by Satan. Satan is the father of lies. He hates the truth and will do anything to stop us from hearing it and receiving it. He seeks to destroy it, to bring doubt upon it, to distract us from it, or simply to just discourage us from pursuing it, just like Pilate. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar. And Satan goes out of his way to blind the minds of the world from the truth, stopping us from receiving it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world, being Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into him. Even when Pilate is standing directly before the glorious gospel of Christ, couldn't get any closer, he's blinded. And it's not just Satan's lies, but Pilate's own heart was deceived. We're told in Jeremiah that the heart, our heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When faced with the truth amongst the constant onslaught of opinions, accusations and lies, Pilate just caved in to pressure, not willing to give up all that he had in this world, his power, his position as governor, the peace and the prosperity that he enjoyed. 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Pilate loved the world. Satan today, he is still a great liar, and he is a roaring lion who deceives the whole world, taking maximum advantage of our very weak hearts, deceived, prone hearts. And we should expect this world that we live in to be full of lies. Lies of what's important. Lies of what we should focus on, what we should seek after. Lies of what is right and what is wrong. Lies as to who is right and who is wrong. Lies on every single side. See, there is no right side and wrong side in the world. It's either God's truth or Satan's lies. God's truth. Pontius Pilate, while he was proceeding over this trial, looked and spoke directly with the source of truth. Literally, the day before this trial, Christ declared in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If Pilate wasn't so cynical or apathetic or just careless toward the truth, prioritizing his self-interest, if he was rather genuine in his question, "What is truth?" then Christ would have bared witness of the truth as he had just previously said. In verse 37 of John 18, when Pilate says unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Christ was there to bear witness of the truth, and he was more than willing and ready to bear witness of the truth to Pilate. And Pilate could have been awakened out of his own self-centered pursuit for peace and prosperity, just a little bit of quiet, if only he had been open to God's truth instead of walking so carelessly away from it. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, was brushed aside because it was just all too hard for Pilate. He conceded rather to the wicked demands of the Jewish leaders, hoping that he'd find some form of peace and just be relieved from the rebellion and the strife that had plagued his governorship. We're told beforehand of how he stirred up the Jewish people, making them intermingle with pig sacrifices, etc. And even afterwards, there's accounts of he could not manage the place well at all. Constant rebellion, constant strife. He just hoped just this one thing, if I just push this aside, give them what they want, then I'll just get a bit of me time. Preserve myself. Yet he neglected God's truth, and in doing so, he actually missed out on true freedom that he could never attain, even as the most powerful man in Judea and Samaria. Christ says in John 8, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We can only find freedom in God's truth, in God's word. Freedom from confusion and uncertainty, freedom from lies and deception, and above all, freedom from sin and from shame and condemnation. And when faced with the never-ceasing, it feels like, information that this world throws at us, in all its confusion, all of its damage, we can know whether it is true or false. And God has provided his unchanging truth to us in his word. John 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We have the word of God, the truth of God. But furthermore, God's given us his spirit to lead us and to guide us in all truth. John 16, 13, "Howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." See, we can avoid this deception, these lies, and just the overwhelmingness of information by renewing ourselves in God's truth. Outside of God, there is no truth. There is no truth. What is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what I should do and what I shouldn't do, can only be found in God. He is the founder and sustainer of truth. You cannot find truth apart from God. Psalm 119. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." God's word is established It's truth. It's enduring. It's everlasting. So to answer Pilate's question, the answer to Pilate's question is simply that God is truth. What is truth? God is truth. God's word is truth. The word made flesh, who stood before him, was truth. Man's choice. Man's choice. Like Pilate, we are constantly bombarded with news and opinions, perspectives, media posts, yada, yada, yada. It's just tiring. And it's easy for me just to give up in despair. Just give up finding out what's the truth in this particular matter or this particular matter. Instead, just taking the most pragmatic approach. All right, I'm just going to ignore it and I'm just going to keep my head down and hopefully I don't have to deal with it. Taking the path of least resistance in a matter rather than dealing with the truth of it. And we are all at risk of responding just like Pilate did. Ignoring, running away, or simply not caring for the truth. What is right? What is wrong? What is God's truth? Or what is Satan's lies? It's so important to know and embrace the truth in all areas of our life, because there are consequences if we get it wrong. Consequences if we get it wrong. If we give someone the wrong dosage of medication, it could kill them. If we have a financial planner that makes the wrong recommendations and someone invests their money in something, it can bring them to financial ruin. If we take the wrong train or the bus or plane, sometimes we might actually end up accidentally where we didn't want to go if we weren't paying attention. I've done that before. But nowhere are the consequences of truth, what is the right and what is the wrong way, more important than in the area of our relationship to God and in his word. See, eternity is a very long time to get it wrong and to be wrong for. God's word alone is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it helps us to discern the lies of Satan, the world, and even our own deceitful hearts. And if we don't consume ourselves in the truth in God's word, we will fall into lies and into error and into ruin. So you cannot identify, you cannot spot a lie unless you first know the truth. You can't spot a lie unless you first know the truth. Rather than running away from what seems like contradictions at times, confusion, challenges, or difficult questions, we must seek the truth and test what we hear against it. Determine based upon God's word, the truth, whether it stands or not. We're told to prove all things and hold fast that which is good or true. Pilate's search for peace, for stability, prosperity, it failed. Success to him was to do what is right at the time to benefit himself, no matter the cost to others, even if it meant the death of someone who was innocent. That's Pilate's success. But God's success, rather, is to live by his truth, regardless the cost at times to us. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Success to God is living by his truth, by his word. And in all the big questions of life that we face, God's word, it has the answers. Who am I? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? Where am I going? Why am I here? And it's not just these big questions that God's word has the answer to, but also all of the contemporary issues of today. Social justice, racial inequality, the environment, refugees, sexuality, gender identity, abortion, euthanasia. The list goes on and on and on. You just need to look at the news and you'll see it all. The Word of God has the answer to all these things, the truth of it, and it is the authority and the truth on the matter. It is the authority. This world is full of confusion, lies, and conflict. And it's so easy to just feel worn down by its constant barrage. And we're at risk of just becoming cynical about it all, apathetic, or careless, just like Pilate. We need to be on guard. We need to be on guard against Satan and his lies. We need to be on guard against our own hearts. It's so easy to get caught up, even subtly, in all that the world pushes and all that we see and receive and hear. And at times we don't even realize that we've drifted away from the truth. And the world is seeking for our attention more and more. And we're continually told what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is the truth, and what is a lie. So I wonder, where are we getting our truth from? Are we getting it from the internet, social media, the news, YouTube personalities, or are we getting it from God's Word and allowing God's Word to help us understand what we see and hear? When we're faced with this world's culture, its messages, its values, do we just take the path of least resistance, just going with the flow? Or do we seek God and His truth, His Word, for the answer? Proverbs 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The truth is far more precious and important than anything else. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Finding out the truth matters. It's our choice to pursue it, to seek after it. We can either neglect it and ignore it, like Pilate, or we can search it out. Amen.